The time of Christ's first coming specified. A day in prophecy stands for a year. C. The 70 weeks, or 490 days, represent 490 years. A starting point for this period is given, "Know therefore and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 60, and 2 weeks, minus 69 weeks, or 483 years. The commandment to restore and build Jerusalem by the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus went into effect in the autumn of 457 BCC. From this time, 483 years extend to the autumn of AD 27. According to the prophecy, this period was to reach to the Messiah, the Anointed One. In AD 27, Jesus at his baptism received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and soon afterward the message was proclaimed, "The time is fulfilled." "Then," said the angel, "he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years." For 7 years after the Savior entered on his ministry, the gospel was to be preached especially to the Jews, for 3.5 years by Christ himself, and afterward by the apostles. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In the spring of AD 31, Christ, the true sacrifice, was offered on Calvary. Then the veil of the temple was rent, showing that the time had come for the earthly sacrifice to cease. The 1 week 7 years, ended in AD 34. By the stoning of Stephen the Jews sealed their rejection of the gospel. The disciples went everywhere preaching the word, and shortly after, Saul the persecutor became Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. The prophecies concerning the Savior led the Hebrews to live in an attitude of constant expectancy. Many believed and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The promises repeated through patriarchs and prophets had kept alive the hope of his appearing. Not at first had God revealed the exact time of the first advent, and even when the prophecy of Daniel made this known, not all rightly interpreted the message. Century after century passed away. Finally the voices of the prophets ceased. As the Jews departed from God, hope well-nigh ceased to illuminate the future. Those whose faith should have continued strong were ready to exclaim, "The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth." But in heaven's council the hour for the coming of Christ had been determined. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, RSV. Lessons must be given to humanity in the language of humanity. The messenger of the covenant must be heard in his own temple. The author of truth must separate truth from the chaff of man's utterance. The plan of redemption must be clearly defined. When the Savior finally appeared in the likeness of men, Satan could but bruise the heel, while by every act of suffering Christ was bruising the head of his adversary. The anguish that sin has brought was poured into the bosom of the sinless. Yet Christ was breaking the bondage in which humanity had been held. Every pang of anguish, every insult was working out the deliverance of the race. If Satan could have induced Christ by one act, or even thought, to stain his perfect purity, the Prince of Darkness would have triumphed and gained the whole human family. But while Satan could distress, he could not contaminate. He could cause agony, but not defilement. He made the life of Christ one long scene of conflict and trial, yet with every attack he was losing his hold on humanity. In Gethsemane and on the cross, our Savior measured weapons with the Prince of Darkness. When Christ hung in agony on the cross, then indeed his heel was bruised by Satan. But that very act was crushing the serpent's head. Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. This act made forever sure the plan of salvation. In death, in rising again, he opened the gates of the grave to all his followers. Our Redeemer has opened the way so that the most sinful, the most needy, the most oppressed and despised may find access to the Father.